are about to hear a life-changing message preached at the Qadesh Family Church in Memphis by the Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay.
You must be born again. If you are not born again, you cannot see the things of God. Therefore, you cannot connect with God as your King. In this Sunday's message, Reverend Lindsay preached on the 12 signs that show that you're born again. There's a kingdom of heaven that is much more desirable than the kingdom of this world. And you are God's masterpiece, created for good works and to use the gifts he has given you to glorify his holy name. So use your gifts gladly and not recklessly. Sit back, relax, and be blessed.
Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my teacher. Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my shepherd. Ooh, I'm so grateful, Lord. Thanks for reaching, thanks for saving. Jesus, my Savior, thanks for choosing me. Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my teacher. Oh, Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my shepherd. I'm so grateful, Lord. Thanks for reaching, thanks for saving. Jesus, my Savior, thanks for choosing me. When you found me, Lord, I was oh so far away. Then you reached out to save me. I couldn't believe you wanted me with you. Oh. Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my teacher. Ooh, Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my shepherd. Oh, I'm so grateful, Lord. Thank you. Thanks for reaching. Thanks for saving. Jesus, my Savior. Thanks for choosing me. I know it was hard to reach me. Almost slipped out of your hand. But you reached out to touch me. I couldn't believe you wanted me with you. Talk to me and to rescue me. Nothing could hold you back, my Lord. You gave everything to reach me. Oh, Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my teacher. Oh, Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my shepherd. So grateful, Lord, thank you. Thanks for reaching, thanks for saving. Jesus, my Savior, thanks for choosing me. Oh, Jesus, my Savior, thanks for choosing me. Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my teacher. Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my shepherd. Oh, I love you, Lord. I'm so grateful, Lord. Thank you. Thanks for reaching. Thanks for saving. Jesus, my Savior. Thanks for choosing me. I know it was hard to reach me. I almost slipped out of your hand, but you held me oh so tight. Now I'm yours forever and forevermore. Oh, 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 Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my teacher. Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my Shepherd. Oh, 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 I'm so grateful, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, my Savior, thanks for choosing me. Thank you for choosing, Jesus, my Savior. Thanks for choosing me.
A voice of such power, amen, and to sound just like your pastor. Hallelujah, amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome again. Please, if you're just she can sing powerfully. Hey, amen. She had a good teacher, hallelujah, amen. Please, if you haven't invited someone, do so. Send them the Zoom link if you're in our virtual world, hallelujah. If someone is not here and you know that they can be here, please send them the Zoom link. Even though we are here live and in person, send them the Zoom link. Hallelujah. Amen. Please grab your communion also. But we are about to be blessed for the purpose in which we came this week. The most important part of the service is yet upon us. Hallelujah. Amen. Bible says, look, how can we hear except we have a what? A preacher. Hallelujah. How will we hear the word except we have a preacher? Amen. I want us to rise to our feet and give God glory, but put your hands together. Amen. For our very own shepherd, our pastor, our teacher, Reverend Cujo Orleans Lindsay.
Come on. Let me see some life in your dance. Come on.
Those who know your name.
Those who know your name.
Leah, dance, come on.
Put their trust in you.
There is no other.
There is no other faithful God.
So loving and true.
Those who know.
Those who know your name.
Put their trust.
Put their trust in you.
There is no other.
There is no other faithful God.
So loving and true.
Come and let me see your mouth.
Oh, oh, how I love the name of Jesus.
How I love.
Oh, how I love His name so sweet.
How I love.
Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. No other name is more to me.
How I love.
Oh, how I love the name of Jesus.
How I love.
Oh, how I love His name so sweet. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. No other name is more.
your hands together for the Lord Jesus. And if you are alive, give the Lord a shout of praise.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The greater your shout, the nearer your miracle. In Jesus' name. I believe it. Because the walls of Jericho broke down with a shout of triumph. A shout, praise is a shout of triumph. Let everyone that has breath praise the Lord with your best. Hallelujah! Amen. You are alive. I can feel that. Lift up your hands to the King of Kings. Let's go and scream our worship. Tell the Lord how much you love him and how prepared you are. Father, your word says as newborn babies, we must desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. Therefore, we are coming as newborn babes with our suckling reflex. We want to feed off the milk of the word in all sincerity. Give us the heart of sincerity and speak to us like your children. We are ready and willing to hear whatever you have to say so that we can obey you and glorify your name. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We don't want Christianity to be just a religion where we do rituals to please you, but we want the relationship of a father with his children. We are family with heavenly hosts. Blessed be your name, Holy Spirit. Come, anoint and use in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know, some of you are fond of not responding when the preaching is going on. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. I will respond. Now you're talking. You know? Well, it's always good to be home. You know, last week we talked about the fact that I don't know how many of you these days, they don't show me the, you know, Zoom pictures, so I can't tell. But I believe that last week we shared from Psalm 87, 84, and verse number 7, you know. And in the, you know, Living Translation, New Living Translation, it said, they grow from strength to strength, everyone who makes an appearance before God in Zion. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. Let's look at another translation. Give us some more. Is anybody who makes an appearance before the Lord, you are about to receive renewed strength. Ah, the Amplified says 84 verse number 7. 84, Psalm 84 verse 7. It says, can you bring it please, brothers and sisters? Anyway, the Bible says that they grow from one level of strength to another level of strength. Everyone who makes an appearance, you know, before the Lord in Zion. So I see you. I prophesy that you will grow stronger in health in the name of Jesus. May you grow stronger in your knowledge of the Lord. May you grow stronger in spirit. May you grow stronger in your finances. May you grow stronger in favor. May you grow stronger in your relationships in the name of Jesus. And let me hear your loudest amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Because you took the word, the Lord upon his word, on his word. And the Lord, Bible says, his words to us are yea, and they are amen. Okay? So the Amplifier says, they go from strength to strength, increasing in victorious power. Amen. Yeah. Victorious power. It means you have the power to become victorious. When it comes to academic work, you have the power for victory. When it comes to job search, you have the power for victory. May your life be filled with victory from strength to strength, bigger and bigger and bigger victories in Jesus' name. Why? Because you make an appearance before our Lord in Zion. And his name is Jehovah Nissi, the victorious one, the banner of victory. That's his name. You know, anybody that comes, you come in the name, you come to a physician, you're likely to go home with a prescription or with a treatment. When you come to the Lord of victories, you are going to wrap some victory of him, and it will be found in your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me let you know that the Lord, he actually, what he does is he changes us to make, give us part of himself. You see, anybody who is born again, you have taken on the nature of God. You are called regenerated. You're called rebirthed. And God has actually transformed you, changed you completely. Hallelujah. You know, I adopted somebody, you know. Yeah. You're here. You'll be adopted in Jesus' name. You know, I've adopted many people. In fact, all of you are adoptees by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Now, you see, the new birth. We're talking about being born again. Jesus Christ said, marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. All right? Now, the new birth. You know, maybe we should go to, first of all, John chapter 3 from verse 1. How Nicodemus puts it. John chapter. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Keep going. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher, come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. You know? Now, keep going, please. Keep going. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you are one is born again, King James is better, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. All right? Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot see, you cannot perceive. You cannot understand when we say Christianity. No wonder you ridicule, no wonder you take it lightly. Because many of the people who take Christianity lightly, because they are not born again. You can't see. That word see is the word perceive, understand, to appreciate, you know, to relate with, to connect. Do you get the point? Yeah, well, we see eye to eye. It means we're connecting. You see, we get the view. We can understand and relate with what it means to be changed. Brother Mike, I think you can see that there's a difference. Yeah. Anybody who's truly born again, you can see that the kingdom, what they say, see the kingdom of God. You can't see God as your king. You can't see that, you know, those who are in America are different from those who are Afghanistan. That's why the Americans, when they pulled out of America, Afghanistan, the Afghanistan nationals wanted to go on the plane to come to America. Do you know why? Because the kingdom had changed. Yeah. Americans had taken their kingdom. Renee, it's too early to sleep. Amen. Has taken, I'm serious. Americans, listen carefully. The Americans had taken the kingdom to Afghanistan. And because of that, you know that in Afghanistan, women are not allowed to go to school. No. Women are not allowed. You're not equal. It's a Taliban. You are not equal. You cannot go to school. You cannot take on certain jobs. You have to sit at home and just breastfeed. You are not equal at all. Now, that is wrong. You get the point. Now, Americans took over after Osama bin Laden was dethroned or was killed. American army went there, and for 20 years or so, they have managed to bring normalcy. The kingdom of America has appeared in Afghanistan. And the woman, when the Americans pulled out, the ladies were crying, what is going to happen to us? What is going to happen to us? Because the kingdom has changed. Ladies and gentlemen, if you cannot, so you know what? Many of the Afghanistan people are running into the American planes wanting to be transported to America. They prefer the kingdom of America to the kingdom of Afghanistan. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a kingdom of God that you must prefer over the kingdoms of this world, because there is a difference. There's a difference. There is a complete upgrade. When you're born again, your kingdom, the kingdom over you changes. The authority pattern changes. The person, when you're under a kingdom, you're under their rules, under their provisions, under their citizenry. All those things. Yeah, and their protection, preservation. Anybody who is born again, you are under the kingdom of heaven. God is king. God has authority over your life. God has jurisdiction over you. You belong to the King of Kings. And the devil knows that. If you don't understand what that means, then you have to read the book of Job. I'm talking about the power of the new birth and what it does. In the book of Job, God just changed. When Satan came to challenge God about Job, God challenged Satan. Have you seen my servant Job? When somebody says my servant, it means I am Lord over him. Yeah, there's always a servant in a master. Lord means master. It means my, you know, in the world, we say your employer, your boss, the one who provides. You know, many people don't like the word servants. They like prefer employee because your employer will pay you. But look, there's a servant master. But what you see is that they pay you because of the work you do. You wear clothes. You pay. You have a house over your head. You may not connect to it as a kingdom. There is a king who tells you when to come to work and all. But in giving back to you, what happens is that, you know, we can tell what kind of job you do by what kind of place that you live.
That's true.
What kind of income that you get. What kind of benefits that you get. It is a kingdom you are operating under. It's true. So what I'm trying to tell you is that when Job came, God said, have you tried, considered my servant Job? In other words, in case you think in this world, nobody is my servant, nobody calls me Lord. Well, let me give you a typical example like Job. He calls me Lord. Bible says, a man who was upright, righteous man, in all things blameless, serving God beautifully, praying, kingdom man. And the devil said, you know, don't tease me. Don't tease me. You see, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on the earth. Blameless, upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. This should be the description of a born-again believer. Pray for the Lord Jesus. Now, let me tell you what happens in the realm of the spirit. The devil knows whose kingdom you are under. And so, then look at Satan's response, describing in the realm of the spirit what he does. So Satan answered, does Job fear God for nothing? Or in other words, your king is somebody you reverence. You reverence your king. Anybody who is born again, because you're under the kingdom of God, you reverence God. And this is when you reverence God, what happens? Does God reverence God for nothing? Then Satan, who had been attempting to keep Job in the world under his kingdom, now describes what happens to people who operate under the kingdom of God, who see and enter the kingdom. The devil is about to describe what you can't see. But because this devil knows the realms of the spirit, operates in to destroy what God is doing, Bible says that thief or the devil cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus Christ said, I am come that you might have life or new life and have it abundantly. I am one to describe to you the abundant life that Satan saw in Job. And then he said, Satan said, does Job fear you for nothing? Then he starts describing. Please bring it back. Okay. He said, have you not made a hedge around him? I see a hedge around you, a hedge of protection for those who are under the kingdom of God. Just like in Afghanistan, America provided a hedge of protection. I'm telling you, kingdom is powerful. Today I'm talking to you about the power of the new birth, what God has done for you or promises to do for you. In case you are joking with the new birth, or in case you don't think it's anything because you're used to religion without being born again, begin to change and see what happens. Have you not? God was describing what happens to people that surrender to the kingdom of God and gets born again. He said, look, God, I've seen what you have done to somebody who is under your kingdom. I want some work to do to destroy somebody so that they will say, oh, God doesn't exist. And then now backslide and come under my kingdom. Then you see where power lies. Have you not made a hedge around him and around his household? Have you not heard the scripture? You shall be saved and your household. Yeah. Paul told the Egyptian jailer, you and your household, you'll be saved. Salvation comes to your household. And around, he had put a hedge around you, around your household, and around all that he has on every side. Oh, today I'm talking to you about the protected blessings. Protect. God does not just bless you, but protects the blessing. Does not just give you a job, but gives you job security. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Leah, that job is secure in Jesus' name. Yeah. They fired everybody in my workplace except me. And I just started work for a few months. Suddenly, I became the boss. Now we are hiring new people. And who is the chief? The six-month-old boy. The six-month-old African boy. If it is not the kingdom that is doing miracles, then I don't know. What do you think? On every side is secure. Look, when God secures your job, even when you lose a job, it's because there's promotion ahead. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I'm telling you honestly, because I've lost a job before, but I never thought I would get a job like this. You have blessed the work of his hands. Begin to see, get some work to do so that God will have something to bless. Never sit down without working, because then God has nothing to work. Zero times zero is zero. Yeah. God wants to bless and multiply the works of your hands. I see you having an upgrade in your job, a thousandfold. Some of you, what is your salary today? In case $1,000 is your salary, I see it becoming your tithe in Jesus' name. Because of the new birth, because of the kingdom you are under. Yeah. The kingdom you are under. Some of you, you came from kingdoms where you are trading in naira. Today you spend dollars and it's multiple times what you have. Lady Pastor was being paid in CDs when he joined my American citizenry. Yeah, when he accepted to come under the kingdom and join me in America. Today she's paid in dollars. Clap for the United States dollars, not Zimbabwean dollars. Zimbabwean dollars, they can give you a million, but it's just $1. Amen. Yeah. He said, you have blessed the work of his hands, and his possession have increased in the land. May the kingdom rule. May his kingdom rule over your life in the name of Jesus. When Bible says, I look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. He's never too late. It may be 2 weeks before the expiration date of your status, but he's still on time. You are the 11th hour blessed somebody in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Then look at what Satan said. Next verse, verse number 10, Job 1, verse 11. But now Satan says, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. So for those of you who, when something happens and then you wonder, has God left me? I'm going to leave God too. You're going to leave God? You're joking. Yeah. Sometimes it's Satan's engineering to leave the kingdom. Stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Then the Lord said in verse 12, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. What it means is that it was initially not in his power. When you are under God's kingdom, Satan has no power over you. And now he didn't even say that you are under his power. He said that the thing you have is under his power. Do not lay hand on his person. You know, so sometimes when your job goes, don't add yourself. It's a job that is gone. Your God has not left you, and you are still intact. God is about to do something major in your life. Amen. Jesus' name. Satan went out from the presence of God and went and caused havoc. Thank God that when everything was lost, the wife who was backsliding came to Job and said, why are you still worshiping this God who has taken everything from you? Why don't you curse God and die? And Job said, you are speaking like one of those foolish women. And told him, is it not the Lord who gives and God who takes? Blessed be the name of the Lord. He told the wife, you are speaking like one of those foolish women. Ladies and gentlemen, anything that threatens you to backslide, you have to address that thing like the way Job addressed his wife. I wish you can bring it up. Job addressed, said, don't speak like one of those foolish. You see that? Then his wife said to Job, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Job 2:9. And Job chapter 2, verse 10, look at the answer. But Job said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? And Bible says, in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're going through, but don't give life to the evil with your lips. It's true. Don't give life to that evil. This thing again. When will God at all? God, you at all? When will you touch me? Hey, you know, I think that we give the devil too much credit. Meanwhile, you are living under the kingdom of God, but you are saying everything that happens to you is because of the kingdom of the devil. What kind of Christian are you? How? When will you become like Job and said, God has given, God has taken, blessed be the name of the Lord. Anytime you can say that, you weaken the devil. And you give place to God to multiply what you had. And when Job sustained his integrity and sustained his relationship with God, at the end, when the story was finished, Bible says in Job chapter 42 verse 10, that Job, God gave Job 2 times what he had before. When Job played. In fact, the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for him. Indeed, pray for his friend. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. May that prophecy be yours in Jesus' name. Yeah. But you have to understand the kingdom you are under to stay put, or to put yourself well under that authority. God's authority is not a curse. It's the greatest blessing you can ever have. Even in an adversity, you are the safest under God's kingdom. It's true. Look at the Afghanistan people. Even when they are in trouble, they still want to go to the Americans, not their own citizens. Yeah. Because they have understood that the problem they are having is not a situation problem. It's not an area. It's a kingdom problem. It depends on who is your, whose kingdom you are under. They understand, my brother, my sister, Christian, it's time to understand that the new birth gives you a new kingdom. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3, he said, except you become born again, you cannot see the kingdom. Give me King James. You cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You cannot perceive it. You cannot appreciate it. And I pray that you will be born again. Yeah. And it's not a shame that you have been. I had been in religion, so-called Christian religion, for a while until I heard this. I said, really? I want to be born again. And I got born again. And it's been a blessing. So I noticed that it wasn't about how long. Look at this Nicodemus. He had been in religion and he's even become a ruler, a deacon. But he didn't know about the new birth. And Jesus Christ said, no, no, what you are describing, you are admiring the miracles of Jesus. You are admiring that he's a rabbi. You are speaking religious terminology. You are powerful. Wow, what a word is this? Clap for the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Mercy, forgive. All those jargons don't mean nothing if you have not accepted Jesus as your personal savior. Except, he said, except means the only way a man can see the kingdom of God is to be born again. And that is the reason why we said that it's important to be born again. So last week, we talked about the fact that there are signs. There are signs that you need to be looked upon. And then we talked about the fact that in church, while we're sitting here, and those of you who are listening to me online and all that, there's realities that Jesus has exposed this to us. In the book of Matthew chapter 24, the last part, Jesus Christ said that he will be coming very soon. as a trumpet will sound and all that he will be coming. And then he told the people how to prepare in chapter 25. You see, so Matthew chapter 25, then he said there will be 10 virgins. Five of them actually had oil, five did not have oil. And the bridegroom came and they all started lighting up their lamp. And the five who had oil, their lights came on, they followed the groom. The five who did not have oil, they could not light their candle. And they asked their contemporaries, please give us some of your oil. They said, no, we can't share. Listen, the new birth cannot be shared. It's not a family tradition. It's not a family inheritance. It's an individual affair. They were all in the church. They were all claiming that we're going to meet Jesus one day. Jesus is going to come. He's going to pick all of us. But when the bridegroom indeed came, only 50% were ready. Only 50% were ready, and they had what you call oil. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ, the bridegroom said, well, when eventually they went and they went to make some makeshift oil and they came back, said, please open us, we have oil. Jesus Christ said, no, not that kind of oil. He said, I don't know you. Lord, Lord, open us. And look at the answer Jesus gave, Matthew 25, verse 12. And Jesus answered, verily I say unto you, I don't know you. May Jesus never tell you, I don't know you, in Jesus' name. Because they were not born again. They saw, wow, the last minute, people will see how real it is. Yeah. These people saw in the last, wow. So all that they were saying was true. And they rushed. While the trumpet was sounding, they went quickly to try and find some oil. But it was too late. May it never be too late. May you be born again now in Jesus' name. Yeah. So that's the reason why we are actually trying to see what are the signs of the new birth. And last week we told you that if you don't have the oil, you don't have the spirit, you're not born again. Because Matthew chapter 36, verse 25 and 27 to 27 speaks about it. He said, and I will cleanse you with the sprinkling of water so that you will be cleansed from your iniquities and from your idolatry or from your idol worship. Okay? Okay? And then he said, then I will put in you a new heart. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, a new heart. And I'll give you a new spirit. You see that? So that you can do my judgment. Then he said in verse 27, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27, and I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Okay? So ladies and gentlemen, verse 26 and 27 says, God will put you a new heart. It is not a repair. It's a complete removal of the old heart and putting in you a new heart, okay? A new heart is what God gives you. And he puts his spirit as the fuel to run that heart. Hallelujah. It's like a car. God is not willing to repair the engine. He's taking out the old engine. He's putting a new engine, which is the heart. That's a new birth. And he's also running it with new gas. Not the old filthy gas that destroyed the old engine. But he's giving you new gas, his own spirit. Not the corrupted spirit that Satan corrupted in the Garden of Eden. That's a new birth. And when he does that, you will be able to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments and do them. Clap for the Lord Jesus. All right? So it's an important thing to be changed. And we talked about the signs of the new birth. We are not going to go over it because we've given you already how many signs? No, it's a triple number. Nine, I think. We're giving you nine. Nine. Okay, let's go. Nine. The first one is what? The first sign, Romans chapter 12, starting from verse 1. No. Well, the early signs are three. We know that the early signs are the crying sign, the sucking sign, and the holding sign, right? Yeah. The crying sign is anybody who is born again begins to pray, begins to worship, begins to praise God, begin to love hymns, and his words are godly words. Okay, then the sucking sign, the person begins to love the word of God. And 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So if you are born again, one of the early signs is you love the Bible, you love preaching. Amen. And then the third sign is the holding sign. A baby starts to hold and cling to you. A baby loves fellowship. The third sign, early sign, is fellowship. You love the church. You love going to church, and people can't understand, but you don't feel comfortable when service is going on and you are home. Something doesn't sound right in your heart. It's a sign that you are born again. If it's not a problem for you, you got to check yourself whether you're born again. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Those are the early signs. Then the late signs we started. The first one is you present your body. Yeah, you present your body. So you now treat your body belonging to God. You don't do filthy things. Okay, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the message of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Okay, so you make sacrifices to God. Okay, the third thing is that you do reasonable service. You do reasonable service. The service to God is reasonable to you. You don't think it's a big problem for the Lord to require some services from you. Okay, that's the third. Anyone who's born again, your body, you know, yesterday I was talking to some, you know, I was on a phone call with some ladies, and I was very shocked. You know, ladies who were intelligent, young, I mean, they've grown, some are in their 30s, some are all that, and then, you know, some are in their 20s, and they were about to get married. And each of them, as they give their testimonies that they were virgins, as I was talking, I said, hey, it's a long time since I found, you know, a set of several ladies who are all virgins and are about to get married, and they're asking questions about how things will be. I said, wow, this is beautiful. And they didn't find it odd. They found it, since that's what we are supposed to, we're supposed to keep our bodies as a sacrifice for God. And when it's time to marry, they will see our show. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. New birth, it's not a problem for you. Your body is kept clean for the Lord. Yeah. Somebody like Joseph, he saw Potiphar, he said, no, Potiphar, do you know what the Lord does for me? Do you know I was in a pit and God took me out? Do you know my brothers were about to kill me and he saved me? Even if they throw me in jail, I would prefer that God would take me out of jail. I will not let you defile my body because it's for the Lord. And he found it a reasonable service. That's the new birth. This time we don't find it often. And look at Joseph's end. He was royalty. And even the people who sought to sell him now worshipped him. God is about to promote you for doing reasonable service because you are born again. Then number four is what? Verse 2. He's not conformed to the world. He don't follow the dictates of the world. The world is going this way. So you sing the worldly songs. You do the worldly things. The world cheats and you also. There must be a difference between you, the worldly worker, and the born again worker. The worldly father and the born again father. The worldly beloved and the born again beloved. Let's see Christ inside of us. The Bible says Christ, you know, the hope of glory. Born again people, there's a difference. They don't toe the line of the world. No. When we were about to get married, at a point there was a delay. Our parents told my beloved and I, why not? Just go ahead and do whatever you want. When we come back next year, you can be married. Just go and stay with each other. I said, no, we're not staying with each other. God says, God says, flee youthful lust. We want to do the right thing. And it's been a blessing all the way by the grace of God. So you don't conform to the world. You don't wear what the world wears. You don't show your whole body as if you didn't have enough material to sew clothes. As if you just took a face, whatever, and a face mask to make your skirt. We see everything. Anyway, but you are transformed. It means you are changed, a newborn. When you see somebody who's born again, you can tell their lives before. When you see them now, wow. Bible says they saw Saul and said, is Saul also among the prophets? When the Spirit of the Lord descended into Saul, they could see the difference. Prophesying is not ashamed to preach on the streets. He was transformed. You are changed. And then the sixth thing is that your mind is renewed. Your thinking is different. Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the seventh thing we learned was that what? You become proof of God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. You become the proof. Somebody who's born again, when you see his life, you want to look like him. So, wow. I want to be like you. You make prayer so nice. One time, I remember my wife was praying in a family, and one of my sisters came and we were just praying. We prayed. My sister got up and said, wow, you guys make Christianity beautiful. You know, I've been praying for a while, but when I hear you guys praying, it's as if God is standing, sitting with you right here. You make it so real. And I said, but how else should you pray? God is real. So, you see, suddenly I see that when she saw my wife praying, she said, this is the way I should pray. This is the way I should pray. Another of my sisters came and saw us being in the church, was in the church for 3 weeks when one of my sisters was getting married, and then went back home and said, I've seen some difference. I am going to actually, you and I, we all were raised in the same house. We did everything together, but your life is different. There must be one thing, this the new birth. She told me, it was an auntie of a senior cousin of mine, went back to her home and said, I'm collecting all my children. We, this born again church thing, we're going to do it for real. And I say to the glory of God that today their lives are different. Amen. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to tell you is that God, when you're born again, Brother Spencer, your friends will see you and say, man, what did you do? I want to be like you. Where is the church you go to? If nobody is following you to church wanting to be who you are, perhaps you are not portraying Christ well. Christ is glorious. Christ shines. That's why the Bible says in Matthew 5 verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Yeah, when you're born again, your light will shine before men. They will see the glory, the beauty, the shine. Wow, something different. You become proof of God's will for mankind. And then suddenly they want to come under God's will for mankind. And they will glorify your Father which is in heaven. And born again, we are supposed to be little lights, little Christ to shine. Somebody will never read the Bible, but your life will be the best Bible they ever read. Clap for the Lord Jesus. If you're born again for real. That is why King Nebuchadnezzar, that's why even the kings, when they saw Joseph, they said, Daniel, say, is your God able to save you? From today, we are going to worship your God. Amen. Number eight sign is that you actually become, you are not too proud. You don't think of yourself too highly. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Not to think of ourselves highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly. So you don't think of yourself too highly, but you think soberly. You are humble. Humility is a sign of the new birth. You drop pride. Somebody who is just inflated, suddenly you can speak with the person. You know, just like God is so big, yet he comes to our level. Yeah. So when somebody is born again, you take on the nature of God. You actually become like, wow, he's so great, but he's so low. He's so big, but I can relate with him. You can relate with children. You can relate with, the Bible says, condescend to men of low estate. You can actually be told what to do. You can be instructed. You can be advised. Bible says it's better to be a child than to be an old and foolish king who can no longer be admonished. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 13. I hope it's correct. Yeah. Amen. So today I want to go to 10 to 12 quickly. You are blessed already, even if we go home now by the summary. Sign number 10. Late signs of the new birth. Today I'm going to talk to you about the gifts and fruits of the new birth. Somebody say the gifts and the fruits of the new birth in a short time. Now, Romans chapter 12 from verse number 4 to verse number 8. For as we have, maybe you should put it this time, you should put it in New Living. For as we have many members, New Living Translation, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function. Verse 5, keep going. So it is with Christ's body. When you're in the body of Christ, this is you. When you are born again and now you belong truly to the body of Christ. You know, when they say the body of Christ signifies the kind of body that the Spirit of the Lord can live in. That's why the church is called the body of Kevin. You get that? The church is called the body of Christ. Brother Nick, yesterday I called you. I just missed you. It's so good to see you. Please, if your shirt, you have another one, give it to me. If you don't have another one, don't be surprised if it gets missing. Because you'll be in my house. Amen. Now, what the body of Christ is said, called the body of Christ. Christ means the anointed one. Christ means the anointed, and the anointing means the Spirit of God. Okay? So when you hear Christ, we are talking about the anointing, the Spirit of God. When you hear Christian, it means of Christ, of Christ, of the anointing. The new birth actually generates the anointing inside of you. The Spirit of God, we read in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27, it says, I'll put my Spirit inside of you. Okay? Now, the new birth essentially means changing your spirit. That's why when Nicodemus asked Jesus, how can I enter into my mother's womb and come again? He said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. He says, John 3, verse 6, says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You were born of the flesh from the womb. But the new birth is spiritual. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. God will put my Spirit inside of you. So Jesus is called the anointed one, the one who carries the fullness of God's Spirit. When you are born again, you are also of the anointed one, of the Christ. That's why we are Christians. That's why I say Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship, because the spiritual genes are poured inside of you. You become a child of God. It's so intimate that God even calls you the body of Christ. You are part of the body of Christ. That means that you acquire what qualified the body for the body of Christ for the Spirit. You become part of God. Jesus washes you by the blood and qualifies your body for the entry of the new Spirit, for the new birth to happen inside of you. Wow. Wow. Oh, I think it's a good place to clap. So what it is that we are now part of Christ's body. We belong to the group of people whose bodies have been prepared for the entry of the Spirit, the new birth. So God says, you are part of his body. You are Christ's body, the body of Christ. The church is not just the four walls. It's the people who have sanctified themselves, and they are now set for the entry of the Spirit. It's the body of, the only body on earth that qualified is the body of Christ. That's the only body. That Bible, when the Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, Renee, is the temple of the Holy Ghost, is saying that the blood of Christ has cleansed you and made you qualified, like Jesus was giving birth, not through the channel of sin, as we all were. So his body qualified. His blood was the only one that could qualify us. That's why in Revelations, Bible says, they said that who can open the book? And Bible says there was silence in heaven. And eventually, there came somebody, says the Lamb of God, which actually took away that. He says, I'm here. He said, the Lamb is able, because he's the only one. And he imparts that ability, equipping to our bodies through the cleansing. If you remember in Ezekiel 36, the first thing in verse 25 was that God sprinkled the water of cleansing to take away the iniquity and the idolatry. And he gave us a new heart in verse 26 and a new spirit. And in verse 27, he says, I will give my spirit. Now you are prepared for it. So ladies and gentlemen, that's why this whole chapter is the chapter of the signs of the new birth. Based on this, knowing who you are in the body of Christ, now we can go back to Romans chapter 12 and verse number 4. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Does it make sense to you now? So when we say we are Christians, we are of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Now watch this. For us, new living again, Romans 12 verse 4. Just as our bodies have many parts. You see, our body has fingers, hands, arm, chest, body, waist, legs, toes, eyes, all kinds of things, okay? Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. Okay, go on, please, verse 5. So it is with the body of Christ. We are many parts of one body, the body. We are many parts of Christ's body. And we all belong to each other. You see, my body, my finger belongs to my chest, belongs to my head. When the head is saying, hey, my finger, where are you? It's referring to this one, not Spencer's hand. You see that? So you realize that we belong, every part of it belongs to this body. My finger belongs to Lindsay's body. My heart belongs to Lindsay. It's Lindsay's heart. Okay? Well, when it comes to the Christ body, we all belong to Christ's body. The devil cannot lay claim of you anymore. You belong to one body, and there's a body of Christ. The new birth makes you to belong. God can now say, this is my body. God can make you touch my body.
Stop.
That's why the Bible says, touch not his anointed. Anybody is anointed, you cannot touch. Yeah. So the Spirit of God sets you up for God's ownership. That's why the Bible says we have the spirit of adoption. You've been adopted. Anybody who's adopted has the same rights as the biological child. Amen.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, this one, you have to really get it. Okay? So let's go back to the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 4. I really want you to get it. That you are part of Christ's body. Okay? For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same. Please, New Living Again, brother, sister, focus. Okay? Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. Next verse, verse 5. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of this one body, and we all belong to each other. Amen. 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 Brother Michael, you are part of the body that I belong to. We are all part of one body. Amen. So it is with Christ's body. Okay, now verse 6. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Verse 7. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. Then verse 8. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is given, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability like me, take the responsibility seriously. And man, I take it seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So what is the next point? The next point is receive the gifts of God, the spiritual gift. Receive the spiritual gifts of God. Number 10. And yeah, receive the spiritual gifts of God. And number 11 is use the spiritual gifts God has given you for the sake of the body. Use it. Use it. Yeah, use it. Use it. Verse 9. Verse 9 says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. The next one, verse number 12. The 12th sign is there is genuine love for others. Yeah. Okay, so if you're born again, number one, you have gifts. Spiritual gifts. Do you know? And then the 11th is use them. And number 12 is use them in love. Ladies and gentlemen, let me explain to you. If you are in this body, the only body that God fully anointed was the body. There's too much noise at the back. The only body that God anointed was the body of Christ. Did you know that? John chapter 3 verse 34. He said, he that is sent of God speaketh the words of God, and God giveth him the spirit. For God gives him the spirit without measure, without limit. So Jesus Christ was given the anointing without limit. When you become the body of Christ, you share in the unlimited anointing. The spirit of God gives you a gift. Everybody here has a gift. God has given you a gift. When you are born, God, you're born again, God put his spirit, and that spirit is a spirit of service. I have a gift. You have a gift. Everybody has a gift. And let me explain to you something that will surprise you. You know, first of all, the gift is equivalent to your function or anointing. Your gift is your function or your anointing. Anything you can do well, God has equipped you. Sister Esther, the way you dance is unique. The way you can sing, Sister Barry, is unique. It is God's gifting at the new birth. Not many people can do what you do. Brother Spencer, have your way. The way I can do it, you can do it better. It's a gift. You cannot also preach the way I can preach. And I should preach with responsibility. You should sing with gladness. You should give happily. Everything, Bible says, freely have you received, freely give. You know, the new birth comes with responsibility. God gives you his spirit of blessing. He adopts you and puts you in the body of Christ and releases his spirit, his free spirit, so precious that marks you such that the devil cannot touch you. Touch not mine anointed. That protection comes with responsibility. It's a privilege to be marked by God for eternal life. When Jesus comes now, he's going to be picking you one by one, Spencer, based on the anointing inside of you, based on the spirit inside of you. But while we are still waiting, it's not a wasted spirit. The spirit is to equip you. The spirit is God's equipping to serve right here in his sanctuary until he comes. That is why you can see that the story of the talent, he said he gave some 5 talents, he gave some 2 talents, some 1 talent, and those who traded, the one with 5, traded with the 5 talent, and he gained another 5. And God says, because you've been faithful, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Because you have been faithful in that which is little, I'll give you 10 cities in the Luke 19 version. 10 cities. Ladies and gentlemen, when you have a gift, there are 2 parts of it. Everybody, God says, whatever it is, you do it gladly. Use your gift gladly. Even Satan, Lucifer, Bible says that you are the anointed cherub that covereth. You are made with tabrets and carbon, all kinds of things, just for him to worship God. But he became too proud. Yeah. Anybody who has a spirit of God, God has created inside of you something that will serve him. Yeah, that's why when you see me preaching, yeah, how is he able to do it? It's a gift. It's a gift that God has given that I am in a responsible way working with it. You see, Junior, he's gifted with keyboards. He did not come into this world this great. Yeah. Your grace. It's also called God has graciously given you. Grace means undeserved. You didn't earn it. It was a gift of God. Everybody who is born again is given a gift, and you have to use it. Number one, recognize. Maybe you shouldn't say receive the gift. Recognize the gift of God inside of you. Yeah. Number 10 is actually recognize that God has given you a gift, spiritual gift. Not just receive. Recognize that God has given you, Renee, a spiritual gift. And number 11 is use it responsibly and happily. If you are happy that I'm preaching this way, the question is, what is it that God has given you to use? What is it God has given you? And I like it. In case you don't think it's part of the salvation package, Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 8 to 10, the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for you are God's workmanship or God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. You are God's masterpiece. When it comes to praise and worship, you are God's masterpieces. But Spencer says, I'm not part of God's masterpiece. I don't agree, but no problem. What I have a masterpiece for, I will also do. I'm telling you honestly. Look. Sister Patricia, what you do over there, it's amazing. It's amazing. It is God's gift. And never be careless or reckless with it. And some of you, this church, some of you, when you clean this church, a fear, Benu and things, these days I don't see them anymore. When they clean this church, when you come, you yourself, you know that it's like a heavenly vacuum has entered the house. I pray that they will come back and God will bless them for all that they've done. Now we are in person. Please, everybody who is gifted to do anything, let's return and start using our gift to the glory of God. Now that Zoom, now that we're in service, I am rearranging my job to be here more because it's time to be. I've told myself I will preach until it's like, you know, hyenas chasing bear by the grace of God. Everybody do it. God says, I know your work. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, the Bible says, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, blessed are, write, he said, write it down. Blessed are they, write down, blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit who gave you that gift. They are blessed indeed, for they will rest from their hard work, and their good works will follow them. Yeah. Every gift you have, God will ask you to account. Denise, what are you doing for the kingdom? For some of you, you can actually talk to friends and rally people to church. That's your gift. For some of you, you can clean. For some of you, the children must be able to come back to church. We should be able to start the children's service. And the Sunday school teachers must be there to help. My darling, what are you able to do? Think about it. Think about it. The instrumentalist must come back. Amen. Recognize that God has given you a gift. And God says, use it well. The choristers must start rehearsing. Yeah. COVID will not be there forever. And it's down already. God has saved you from COVID, has saved your life. It's time to use that saved life that he has anointed to actually serve him. Amen. And I want to see that active service, because God has graciously given all of us your anointing. The gift is your anointing. The gift is a reflection of your anointing. And that is also a reflection of your function in the body of Christ that the Lord has anointed. Don't tell me you have nothing to do. No, then God is a liar big time. Now you're adding insult to the laziness. Now you're telling the Lord, you gave gift to everybody, but not me. Bible says he gave gift to all men. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if I had not used my gift, you would not be here. You'll not be here. And we all know what happens to those who hide their gift. The Bible says he told them, you wicked servant. You know, actually not using your gift is a sign of telling of ingratitude. Yeah. If you can bring that one, what happened to the one who hid his talent or his gift or his anointing until the master came? When Jesus comes, he will ask. But his master replied, the one who hid, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I did not plant and gathered where I didn't cultivate, why did you not deposit my money in the bank? At least I would have gotten some interest on it. That means that why didn't you even give it to somebody who, by having it, will make it glorious and add something to it? It means you couldn't do it. You should have said it. I would have given it to somebody else. The bankers are somebody else. And then he went on to say in verse 28, then he ordered, take the money or the talent from this servant and give it to the one that has 10 bags of silver. Wow. That's why the people who are talented become more talented. The more you use your gift in the Lord, the more anointed you become, the greater you become, the more capable you become. Because the anointing is your function, is God's equipping of you for the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Then he ordered, take the money from the servant and give it to the other one. Ladies and gentlemen, and he explained, verse 29, to those who use well, what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have in abundance. But when those who do nothing, but from those who do nothing, even what little that they have will be taken away from them. Verse 30, it will never be you in Jesus' name. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Ladies and gentlemen, maybe nobody has told you before, but Christians who do not serve in the church, their end is not nice. God calls them useless. In fact, I would say good for nothing. You're good, but for nothing. Everywhere you are, find something and do it. From today, learn to do something. Those who clean, start cleaning. Please. Those who do outreaches, start doing it. Those who serve communion, everything, those who welcome, let's come back to it. Because in the twinkling of an eye, everybody will account for it. And if you're a newborn baby, if you're somebody who's born again, one sign, nobody will tell you. You want to use your talent. In fact, you don't like it when your talent is not being used. From today, I want to see a different picture. And I pray that God will bless you. I came to tell you there's power in serving God. Anybody who serves God, God rewards you. Look at Job. God rewarded him. Look at these people who use their talent. The Bible says, because first of all, you do something and you get five more. But God says, I'll give you 10 cities. What a reward. What has talents got to do with cities? May God give you 10 cities. May God give you control. May God give you, a city means that which is complete. Complete. Everything you need is in there. You know, you cannot call Lakeland a city unless there's a police station, unless there's a post office, unless there's a school. All the right amenities must be in place. When the Lord says, I'll give you 10 cities, it means I'll make you complete now. Make the Lord make you complete. Amen. Because you recognize the gift that God has and you use the gift and you use it in love. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. For the next 5 minutes, my brother, I'm going to show you a video about one man of God who's using his talent for the worldwide people. God said, go into the world and make disciples. And, you know, as an introduction to what is happening next week, I brought this so that all of you will look at yourself and see where you fit in this great commission that Jesus led us with, left us to go into the world. Some of you, you build churches in your local region. Some of you, you give money for it. Some of you, you win souls. Some of you, you go on the field to support. Some of you, you teach. Some of you keep the children so that they will grow as we teach, so they'll become evangelists. But all of us will find ourselves in this five-minute video that we are going to apply next week, Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, after that, I'll tell you something very powerful. Let's watch this five-minute video, and it will just be a summary of the message. Clap for the Lord Jesus about what we are going to do next Sunday. Please let it flow. Healing Jesus.
Hello, everybody.
This is Apostle Joel,
QLC,
our bishop.
Shepherd House. This is Apostle Joel, and I'm coming to you with a very important message. My message has to do with the Global Healing Jesus Sunday service, which happens on August 29th. Mark your calendar. Sunday, August 29th, is the Global Healing Jesus Sunday service. That means all the UD churches globally come together as one big family to show our support and encouragement to the evangelist and to the Healing Jesus campaign by coming together to pray for the campaign and also to raise financial support for this same campaign. You know, as a church, God has been very gracious to us. God has given us many opportunities to experience different aspects of ministry. God has been wonderful to us. We have experienced church planting. We have experienced church growth. We have experienced raising pastors, leaders, etc. So many other experiences God has given us. And one of the experiences and privileges that excites me really is the Healing Jesus campaign. Because through the Healing Jesus campaign, we as a church get to be involved firsthand in the mass evangelism of people. You know, we believe in person-to-person outreaches, person-to-person evangelism, and evangelism on a smaller scale, which I believe is also effective in its own way. But the reality is that if we're going to reach the world as God intends for us to do, then we need to expand our reach, and we need to conduct some large capacity mass events where people get saved by the loads, literally by the loads. And that's what Healing Jesus campaign stands for. And it's a blessing that we as a church get to have that. So because God has given that to us, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. God, along with the crusade, has also given us the responsibility for supporting it. It's like when God gives you a child, along with a child, God gives you the responsibility for raising that child. You need to look after that child and to ensure the well-being of that child, right? Same thing with the crusade. What God gives to us, God expects us to rise up and demonstrate our appreciation for what he has given us, you know, by accepting, embracing the responsibility of supporting it and carrying out with the assignment for as long as he allows it and as long as we are able, you know. And that's why I'm calling on you as an individual, and I'm calling on all of you as churches and branches of QFC and Shepherd House International. I am asking you to pray about your support and pray about how you can participate in the Healing Jesus campaign. By all means, you must have a share in these campaigns. You know, because of the pandemic, things have slowed down a little bit, but thank God, things are beginning to pick up again. And look around the world, the restaurants are opening again, the schools are opening again, in-person church services back again. Why not the campaign for souls? That must also come back online, you know? And so we want to trust God to go back out there with the evangelist, supporting him as one big team, some on the field, some behind, but all of us as one big team, united in our mission, united in our purpose, to support him as he goes forward with the gospel, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to win souls for him. So that's where you and I come in. Our support is very much needed. We need to make a sacrifice on this one Sunday to give an offering that we may never have given before. Pray about it. God will touch your heart. God will speak to your heart. And God will show you how you can participate effectively. And God will show you what kind of sacrifice to make. And when he ministers it to your heart, I want you to trust him and obey him and watch him bless you as his word has promised. So it's Sunday, August 29th at your local SHI church, at your local QFC church, Healing Jesus campaign service. Right, so God bless you all. Invite people, of course, invite friends, family, and anyone who is into soul winning. This is not just a church thing, this is a Jesus thing. Jesus said we should go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If we mean to follow Jesus, then this is one of the instructions we must ensure that we obey.
Wow, wow. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. What a culmination to this message. You see, the Lord gave the Spirit. The Bible says Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Everything we're doing here is for salvation. The preaching, the service, the bills that we are paying,
the Sunday school, it's just to create the atmosphere to win souls. We just happen to be one unit. And so that is our channel. You know, the headship and leadership of the church have decided to take it a notch higher. And now that COVID is open, seem to be going down in most places, we want to go back on the road for salvation and soul winning. And I believe that we need to support for that. You know, when you see the campaign trucks, there are a lot of them. Trucks, a lot of people, we go from village to village where people will not be reached. Sometimes we cross rivers because there's no road. We have to put on pontoons. And I want all of you, next Sunday, God willing, we will be here. We will see the extent of work that your church has done. And your little prayer here and there, your support here and there, what it has done and what it is now going to do. I pray that next week you come with somebody whose heart will be touched. When you see some of the people that are going to hell, that nobody cares about them, but that's where we want to go. I was away for 6 weeks, and part of it is to encourage people to go for such mission. And you may not be able to go, but sometimes your prayer will let somebody go, or your offering will let somebody go. And I believe that it will be a fantastic, the things you will see next Sunday about the work that your church is doing and how you can support it, it will bless your heart because you're part of Christ's body. Your function will come to fruition in Jesus' name. Put your hands together. Let's rise to our feet. Hallelujah. How many recognize you have a gift? Give me a wave. How many have decided I'm going to use my gift for the purposes of God's body? And how many are going to do it in love, not grudgingly? Give me a wave. Love, love. Put your hand on your heart and pray, the Lord, please show me my gift and help me to use it. Say it, Lord, show me what my gift and my anointing is. What is my function in the body of Christ, in this new birth that you've given me? You've given me your kingdom. You've made me. You have become my Lord and Savior. You are blessing me with your anointing. You are protecting me. You are providing for me. What is it that you want me to do? Help me. Let me not be irresponsible. In the name of Jesus. Now, if you're here, you want to give your life to Jesus, this is your opportunity. Don't wait till the trumpet sounds and you run like the foolish virgins. This is your time to be a wise virgin. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, wherever you are, lift up your hand. Whether you're in church or you're on Zoom, lift up your hand and give the Lord a wave in the name of Jesus. Good, good. Now let's say this prayer. Say, Almighty Father, repeat after me. Almighty Father. Almighty Father. I know my state. I'm not even sure of the new birth, but I want to be sure today. Please forgive me for my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ. Change my heart. Fill me with your fresh spirit, the Holy Spirit. Because I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He died for me, and God raised him from the dead. By this confession, I am born again by faith through Jesus Christ. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit and write my name in the book of life. Please let me recognize my spiritual gift, my grace, my function, and let me use it and use it in love. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Wow, weren't you blessed by that anointed word of God? Come join our services this and every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time on Zoom at meeting ID 934-809-4313 or in person at 5769 Shelby Oaks Drive, Memphis, Tennessee. Be blessed.